Line, Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Now, joining us a day later because of the NFL draft is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate you for joining us and appreciate your flexible schedule. I think one series that I've been following and honestly love watching so far is the Avalanche Kraken series. Did not think we'd be able to get to game six. What's your interpretation of that series and kind of the temperature in Colorado now that Seattle leads 3-2 and could take it tonight?
You know, Carolyn, I agree with you going in. I thought it was a great accomplishment for Seattle to make the playoffs. I didn't see them winning this series, to be honest, going in. And I thought if they kept it competitive, it would be a victory. And then a couple of things happened. Number one, their goalie, Philip Grubauer, has had the biggest difference between the regular season and the playoffs in terms of his play. No goalie in the league has raised their level higher in the postseason than the way he played during the year than Grubauer has. And that's obviously been a huge difference. But the other thing is, you know, like when Jordan Eberle scored in overtime to win game four and tied the series at 2-2, I think that's when Seattle went from, okay, it's great to be here, to, you know what, we can win this. And even missing a 40-goal score due to injury in game five, I thought they were excellent on the road. I thought, you know, they took the best that Colorado could throw at them. I thought they played really comfortably, really poised. Like, this is not a fluke. They have earned their lead. Colorado, you know, they'll have Makar back tonight from the suspension. You watch, he'll be the best player on the ice. But they're a bit thin. Landeskog is out. Nichushkin, we have a bit more clarity here, but I don't think we're going to see him anytime soon. You know, Colorado, like, Seattle doesn't have Colorado's top-end talent, but they do have a lot of depth. They're very fast, and their goalie's playing out of his mind. They have a shot to wrap this up tonight, but I agree with you. Anyone who says that they saw Seattle convincingly winning this series, they're a liar.
Elliot, just to follow up, you mentioned Nichushkin, of course, and Makar got suspended in there, but the Nichushkin thing, I just wonder how that weighs on a team when just something like that happens in the middle of a series. Of course, based on what's been reported.
I think it's got to be a shock, right? Like, he played the first two games. I think he scored the winning goal in game two, and you're preparing for game three, and that kind of happens on a game day. I think it would throw anyone. And you know, the Avalanche are being very careful here not to say anything. They're not discussing it really one way or the other, except, you know, basically saying that they said it wasn't a police investigation. He's not suspended. But other than that, we're not getting much insight into how they feel. I'm sure we will once this is all over. But I can't imagine how that wouldn't throw a team, because he's not one of your best players. Like, they have the elite of the elite there, but he's a very important part of what you do. And he was going to be even more important this year because their captain is out and won't play in the playoffs. So I can't think about how that wouldn't affect the team, both in terms of trying to understand what happened, and all of a sudden he's not in your lineup.
Yes, no question. So last night, Elliot, as you can imagine around here, there was a ton of attention focused on the NFL draft. But I did, just on a side note, D-Mace, you'd appreciate this. In the last couple of podcasts for Elliot, he's thrown out some football references with Earl Campbell, and then this morning it was Chuck Foreman.
All right.
Oh. That's going deep right there. That was pretty solid.
Like my 1970s running back.
Early 80s running backs. That's good stuff. But Elliot, last night, a lot of Predator fans may not have, you know, they might have fallen asleep and not seen this, but when Winnipeg was eliminated, their coach Rick Bowness really laid into him. Like, it could have been hey, we'll talk about this later, and you know, our guys battled, we didn't get it done. But man, he made a point to just light them up for just the quote he kept using was no pushback. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty tumultuous offseason in Winnipeg.
Well, first of all, let me just say, from what I understand, you can never go wrong with, like, third-generation offensive tackles out of Northwestern. I think that sounds like that was a pretty good pick.
Yeah, his name is Skoronski. He just sounds like he could be a good offensive lineman.
Can't not be good.
Yeah, like, you know, the team that drafted, like, Matthews and Munchak, I think they've got to know what they're doing there, hopefully. You know, I think, so Bonus got up there, and he spoke for 62 seconds. And anytime it basically starts with no questions, good, because people are waiting to say something, like 9 times out of 10, if the coach starts with that, you know you're getting a heck of a press conference. And this was not on the lines of Jim Mora saying playoffs, but it was like that. And
playoffs.
So they had a game. Yeah, it was close. It wasn't quite that, Carolyn, but it was close. So they had a game about 3-4 weeks ago. They lost late in the season in San Jose, and Bonus really ripped into them. He was angry, and he really ripped into them. And so this is the second one in a month. And any time you get something like that, you know that there's issues. Now, the thing here that kind of surprised me a little bit about it is the Jets had some real serious injury problems. They lost their number one defenseman in game three on his second shift of game three, and they played really hard in that game. They were down 4-1 and lost in a fluke bounce in double overtime. In game four, they lost their number one center, Mark Scheifele, to an injury on the second shift. They played hard. They lost, I think it was 4-2, the last goal in empty netter with 15 seconds left. But last night, they weren't good. And they gave up a goal in the first minute of the game. They gave up another goal in the first minute of the second period where Mark Stone, the Vegas captain, basically walked through four guys. And you could see the shots of Bonus on the bench. He was really boiling. And you could see that this was coming. I wasn't expecting that, but you could tell he was mad. The thing that's interesting about the Jets is they have some really key players. Scheifele, Pierre-Luc Dubois, their other top center, their goalie, Connor Hellebuck, who had a great year. They're all heading into the last years of their contracts. And I think there's a decent chance that the Jets are going to move on. And they're gonna blow up their core and basically start trying to put together a new group. And, you know, I think people in Winnipeg have been wondering if they were going to do that. I think the message after that game last night is that's absolutely going to happen. So you're going to hear a lot of wild speculation about what the Jets are going to do.
How stunned are you about how much the Devils have shut the Rangers down after the first two games where they couldn't stop them? They've gone from that to the other extreme where the Rangers are now going three games and are really having trouble getting anything.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I mean, the swing in that series has been incredible. And, you know, like, so last night the Devils were up 2-0. They took a penalty. The Rangers were on the power play and they scored shorthanded. And someone sent me a note saying, the Devils looked like they believed they were going to score. Even though the Rangers had the man advantage, they were so confident. You know, the wild thing is the Devils lost the first two games at home. They were going back to Madison Square Garden. They put in a goalie for his first playoff game ever, and he's been fantastic. Like, it was a really gutsy decision by the coach and the organization to make that change. And since then, they've won 3 in a row, and they look so much more confident. The thing that the biggest change in that series, guys, is that the Rangers killed the Devils on the power play in the first two games. The Devils have come back, and they've shut it down. And without that, the Rangers are really having trouble scoring.
Last night, for people that weren't paying attention, Toronto had a chance to close out the Tampa Bay Lightning. So there is still a scenario where the Lightning and the Avs are both out in the first round, which would be a pretty big story and really a champion for those that are like, just get into the playoffs and anything can happen. But so Toronto, we kind of get to the Toronto meter with you. It's always fascinating to me. So what's the thought going on the road? Is it almost better in some ways that they're on the road in game six?
Probably. I mean, like, This is where the where the Toronto meter is right now, Willie. It's this simple. Yesterday, I live near a high school. I walk around the neighborhood quite a bit. They were so confident. They were like I have people saying to me, like, the Leafs are going to win 5-1 tonight. And I'm like, are you guys nuts? Like, 5-1? Like, you guys are crazy. No, they're done. They're done. And, you know, obviously Tampa came out and played a great game and won. Like, I think here it doesn't take a lot for the nerves to get frayed. You know, I live in a city where they haven't won a cup since 1967. And many of those defeats along the way have been very painful and, quite frankly, almost unbelievable. So it doesn't take a lot for them to get worried. I think they're in a pretty good spot. I mean, obviously they're up 3-2. I think the other thing too is the faster this series goes, the better it is for Toronto in terms of pace. They have to play at a fast pace. And last night, Tampa dictated it. They slowed the game down. They really didn't let Toronto get going. And Vasilevsky, I didn't like the goal he gave up, but after that, he was spectacular. Like, that's if Tampa gets good goaltending and slows down the pace, they're going to be okay. I still think Toronto is going to win the series, but on the nervous-o-meter, let's just say in this city, it's ratcheted up a couple notches after.
Man,
last
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I'm sure the fingernails are getting very, very short now that the series is coming down to the last few games. Elliot Friedman, football extraordinaire. Appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thanks, Elliot. You too. Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and Sportsnet. A day later, appreciate him being flexible with our NFL draft schedule. We've been breaking down what Houston did with number 2 and kind of how the Tennessee Titans fell into place with a bidding war with the Houston Texans. And I have a thought about how possibly that may have come to be. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, we are right back into your phones coming up next. Caroline Riley, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.